I greet you in Jesus' name. I certainly appreciated being with you as a congregation, learning to know you. And I don't know all of you, but I do know you a little better, at least for a little bit. And I'm glad for that. It was my pleasure to be in your homes. I really enjoyed that and appreciated that. I thank you for the gifts that you gave us and for the scrapbook. The scrapbook was not in that bag at noontime, but it was in there later on and I found it, okay? And I appreciate that. And I do appreciate that. And there's somebody else going to appreciate it that you haven't seen. And that is Caleb Bernay. He stays at our house, and he will go through that scrapbook many times and ask me questions about the people in that scrapbook. And I'll try to have the right answers, okay? When we leave here tomorrow, we're going to go to Pittsburgh. My son, Aaron, and his wife are there with their daughter, Kayla. She had a liver transplant. And, I don't know how many weeks it is, 7 weeks. It's been a long time for him. And just want to go there and visit with them a little bit before we go home. And, you know, God is love. And I'm glad we can rest in that love and all the circumstances of life. God is love. And may we continue to love Him. I trust that I've been just a help to you in your spiritual life, because there is something beyond the sunset. There is something beyond the sunset. And we want to be prepared for that time when we will also be beyond the sunset. Very, very, very important. Jealous. That is somebody's name. Jealous. What a name, huh? That is somebody's name. Whose name is it? I want to ask you. It's God's name. That's right. I want to talk about that this evening. I'll title my message, My Name is Jealous. My name is jealous. Now, you can't really say that without passion. Jealousy is full of passion. Yes. My name is jealous. Jealousy is an intense passion and longing for love and devotion. Now, God owns everything. He can make anything. Why would God ever be jealous? But God has an intense passion and longing for love and devotion. And you know, the creation praises Him. Remember when the creation praises Him, the trees praise Him. Remember when Jesus was going up the triumphant entry, he said, if you don't praise me, the rocks are going to praise me. The creation praises God. But He wants more than that. The stars praise Him. That's part of His creation. Yeah. The stars praise Him. The stars sang together over the creation. They were praising God. But He wants something deeper than that. The creatures of the earth praise Him. Back in Revelation, it talks about the creatures that were on the earth and under the earth and above the heavens. And I don't know where. I forget all the description. But the creatures praise Him. One of the creatures I find interesting as He praises Him is the donkey. As He praises God, God has a real sense of humor in how He has people and beings praise Him, you know. But it's something I wouldn't have thought of. But even the donkeys praise him, you know. And that might be because you're not. But the donkey will, okay? But God wants something more than that, although it probably humors God too when he hears the donkeys praise him. But he wants more than that. The angels praise him. The angels praise him. But there was still something missing in the angels' worship. God wanted worship from an intelligent being, a passionate, emotional being, a creature of choice, not forced to worship in any way, one who he had showered with his love and devotion, one who had fallen and was rescued at great cost, a being who would love him with an intense passion and devotion based on his worthiness and his attractiveness. And that's why he made you. We view jealousy in a negative light. And it is often wrong for us to be jealous. But God is jealous, and he has every right to be so. God is jealous. He is jealous of our love. He is jealous of our devotion. He is jealous of our worship. He is jealous, like a husband is jealous for the love of his wife. God is jealous. God is jealous about our love for him. Jealous. Do you understand that word? Let's just look. God is a jealous God. I'm amazed that often he talks about how often God is jealous. Let's just look at a few times in the scriptures where God expresses his jealousy. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 23 and 24. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or a likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. All right. Now, always when God talks about his jealousy, it's about when it's directly linked to when we worship something else besides him. And he says here, you make sure you don't make a covenant. Take heed to don't forget the covenant you made with the Lord your God. And you make a graven image or anything of any likeness like that which the Lord has forbidden you. Because if you worship a graven image, you are going to make God jealous. And he expresses it, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Yeah. Okay. Deuteronomy 5. Verse 8 and 9. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. This is, of course, one of the Ten Commandments, just recorded here in Deuteronomy. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation upon them that hate thee. But I'll stop there. Okay. But here he says, I don't want you to be worship anything. Thou shalt have no other gods besides me. Not any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven above or the earth beneath. Don't bow down to them, but serve them, because I am a jealous God. When I see you bowing down to an image, it stirs in me my jealousy, because I want that worship. I want that affection. And it doesn't, yes, it gets him angry. My God, our God is a consuming fire, it said, a jealous God. See, it turns him into a rage, a consuming fire, because he wants our worship. He wants it. Okay, Deuteronomy 6, verse 14 and 15. Ye shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Again, God expresses how he is jealous. He wants our love. And in Deuteronomy 6 here, he just got finished telling us how he wants that love. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That is not so much a commandment as it is an invitation to know him. He says, I want you to love me with all of your heart. But which of us would have a wife that we wouldn't want her to love us with all of our heart, all of our heart? We wouldn't want it any other way. No, absolutely not. No divided loyalty. No, I love you because I have to, you know. Not that kind of thing. I love you. I love you with all my heart. That's what we want. That's what we want. And that's what God wants. Not God and something else. Numbers 25, verses 1, 2, and 3. And Israel abode at Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And now skipping over to verse 10, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. You know, God started slaying them there. And then Phinehas slew took a javelin and he thrust them through, and he stopped the plague that was going along. But God says, lest I slew them in my jealousy. God was very jealous because they were worshiping Baal Peor. They were worshiping another god. And God wanted them to worship him. And it made him very angry when they showed affection to someone else besides him. 1 Kings 14. Verse 22 and 23. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. There they were in the land that God had given them, and they had built groves, and they were worshiping the gods of the Canaanites. And it provoked him, it says, it provoked him to jealousy because they were not giving God the love and affection and devotion which he wanted. God wants our worship. Yes. He wants our worship. Will you say, I have not bowed down to idols or served someone else? Let's turn over to James 5. Not James 5, James 4. The first four verses. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts which war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And there in verse 4 he talks about it, how that he calls them adulterers and adulteresses because they were showing friendship with the world instead of friendship with God. If you're the friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. And then let's read verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Do you think the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit which has dwelt in us yearns with envy? You see, God, when we came to God and we told God, I give you my love, I give you my heart, I give you my all, and then God Himself, the Almighty God, the great God over all the universe, He says, I will come and I will live in you. And then, when He is in us, if we show a friendship with the world, that Spirit of God which is in us, yes, He yearns with envy because He wants our love. He wants our affection. And here we are, we say we're going to love Him and we're a friend of the world. He is a jealous God. Turn to Exodus 34, verse 12 to 14. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, and break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. He has an intense passion and longing for love and devotion and worship from you. He says, speaking of himself, or Moses speaking of God, he says, thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. He is a very jealous God. He cannot tolerate. It is very hard on him when we give our affection to someone else besides him. It stirs up his jealousy. Let's turn to Song of Solomon 8, verse 6 and 7. Song of Solomon 8, verse 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are as coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all his substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. And there we have this this intensity of jealousy. He says, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are as coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. And that is a picture of God as the jealousy grips him. And there's a flame is burning in his heart, because he's jealous for your love. Yes, we can provoke him to jealousy by our lack of love for him. I can. You can. Yes, God loves us very strongly. He has a passion for us, and he wants us to reciprocate that love. But we can place our affection somewhere else. What had just happened here in Exodus 34? What had just happened? Well, God had delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He had delivered them out of the land of Egypt with a very strong hand. And he did all those 10 plagues. And he showed his glory. He showed his might. He showed his power. He showed you how he was capable of taking care of them. And then Moses led them out of Egypt, and there they were, those millions, couple million people, we don't know exactly how many it was, and they went over there to the Red Sea, and there they were trapped, and Pharaoh's army came up against them, and God showed them again his power. He just had an east wind blow, and Moses, you know, held out his rod, had the east wind blow, and the sea divided, and they walked through the Red Sea. God delivered his people for himself, and he destroyed the Egyptian army behind them. He gave them water out of the He gave them water out of the rock. He gave them water different times. He gave them manna. He spoke to them personally from the mount. He spoke to them. He gave them his commandments. And they said, "You frighten us. Would you please talk to Moses and have Moses talk to us?" And God said, "Okay, I'll do that." And Moses went up unto the mount. Now let's turn to that section right there. In Exodus 32, verse 7. And Moses was up there on the mount. And this people that God had called to himself and had showed to them by his power in ways that no one else in the world had ever seen. His power, his might, his glory, his wisdom, his goodness, his love. Exodus 32, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. God could no longer even bear to call them my people. He was betrayed by them. And he was hurting very, very badly. He said, "You go down and get your people. Go talk to them. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed it unto and said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." God was being consumed by his jealousy. He wanted them to love him. He thought by all means they would love him. Look at all he had done for them. Look at all he had given to them. Look at how he displayed his greatness to them. And it wasn't even 40 days since he had talked to them. And they were dancing around a golden calf and worshiping him yet and saying, "These be thy gods which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." And it made God so angry. He was so jealous of their love. "Let me alone, and my wrath you may wax hot, and I may destroy them."
I'll just start over with you, Moses. God was being consumed by his jealousy.
And that's why it says later here, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. What was the first rule? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That was the first rule. It was God. It was God.
Satan wants our worship. He doesn't mind if we worship God's creation. He doesn't mind if we worship ourselves. He doesn't mind if we worship the world. He doesn't mind if we love power. He doesn't mind if we love wealth. He doesn't mind if we love pleasure. But he doesn't want us to worship.
As Satan clashed with Jesus there in the temptation, there in the wilderness, and he said, fall down and worship me. Jesus' response was, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Yes, we are creatures of worship. Oh, yes. We love to worship.
You say, oh, really? Well, I go to worship, you know, I go to church and it's boring. I don't know that worship's so exciting.
Oh, then you don't know what I'm talking about. We love to worship.
Oh, yeah.
Worship is never boring.
No,
not worship.
No?
If you're bored, you're not worshiping.
No, worship isn't boring.
The world builds huge worship houses.
Yeah,
huge worship houses. And they love to get together there and just have a great old time worshiping. You know, around a football team or a baseball team or whatever it is. I don't know what all they have. Huge worship houses. And they get together and they just love to worship. They love it. We all love worship. Enthusiastic, full-hearted worship. We love it.
Yes, you do too. Do you know what worship is? Worship is admiration to the point of supreme devotion. And you can worship their dying sports heroes. You can worship their musicians. You can worship the God of education and the gods of science and the creatures of this earth and man and self. You can worship those things. But I want to worship and honor the true and the living God that is worthy of all worship.
God is jealous of us, that we would worship him.
Yes, you, right there, you. He's jealous of your worship. He wants your worship.
Full, complete worship.
That's what he wants.
What are expressions of worship?
A heart full of praise to God. That's an expression of worship.
Praise to him. Just praising him for how great he is. That's worship. God wants it. He'll accept it. He loves it. He rejoices in it. And the psalmist knew how to worship God. David knew how to worship God, and David was the worship of God. Then you know how Michael looked out and he saw she saw David worshiping, and she despised David for how he was leaping and rejoicing and worshiping God. David knew how to worship. He was worshiping his king. He was just one of the creatures that God had made among many others. And he was worshiping with all of his heart. That's what he wants from you. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in truth, yeah. We have a lot of spirited worship. It's not necessarily in truth. Must be in spirit. He wants to worship in spirit. You must be worshiped in truth as well. The psalmist knew how to worship God from his heart. Psalm 34, verse 1 through 3. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. For praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right. And he goes on praising the Lord. He says, praise the Lord. We could read, well, so many psalms express praise and worship to God. I'll read another one from Psalm 95, verse 1 through 7, where the psalmist expresses his praise and worship to God. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He was worshiping his God. He is a great God. He is a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills are his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down before him. And let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Worship. Never boring. Expressions of worship. Heartfelt praise. How do we worship him? Number two, by fidelity and loyalty to him. Yes, when we show fidelity and loyalty to him, we are worshiping him. And we could use the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They actually chose not to worship Nebuchadnezzar. And by doing that, they were telling God, I'm going to remain true to you. And they told Nebuchadnezzar that as well. But we worship him by showing fidelity and loyalty to him. We will not give our devotion or love to anything or anyone else. I'm going to love you and worship you no matter what. Did God like that? Oh, he loved it. He loved it so much so that he could use those instruments, those three feeble young men or old men, whatever they happened to be at the time. He could use those three men because they were daring to worship God in the face of Nebuchadnezzar himself and the whole hierarchy of the Babylonian Empire. They dared to worship the God of the Hebrews. The God of heaven. The true God. And God loved him. He just loved it. And he let them go into that fire and he spared them. He spared them. And because they had that worship for God, God used them to bring glory to his name. We show worship to God by giving him our best. Yes, we wouldn't do anything else for our God but give him our best. No, absolutely not. You know Malachi's problem there, Malachi 1 verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. This worship of God is boring. I don't like it. Yes. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord God?
We show our expression of worship by giving him our best. Yeah. And if you give your best to someone else, to something else, God sees. And what? Something's starting to happen in his heart. That jealousy starts stirring. He notices right away. He's really, really jealous. His name is jealous. Expressions of worship is by having time for him. Time for him. Having time to read his word that he gave to us. Enough interest in him to read his word. Having time to come for collective worship on Sunday morning. I was glad. Yes, that's what he said. I was glad when they settled to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Another opportunity for worship. Yes. You know, your pastor might not know if you were here or not. God does. He doesn't miss it. He knows. He's more alert than your pastor's about it. He's more jealous about it too. Not that they aren't. But he's more jealous about it. He knows. When you say, well, I could go to church again, but, well, you know, maybe I'll go do this thing. You know, it's not a bad thing. I say, your pastors might not notice. And then again, they might. But it doesn't really matter that much. God does. No. He cares. Number five, expression of worship is by enthusiastically doing his will. Enthusiastically doing his will. I'm just going to read this verse here in Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Yes. And that's an expression of worship to him. When we adorn our lives in his likeness, or we adorn our lives in holiness, it's an expression of worship. The beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So, yeah, by enthusiastically doing his will, or obedience, we might call it. Do you have a passion to do the will of God that overrides your fear of man? That's worship. Mm-hmm. Do you give God your worship? Or can God tell that you worship him? Can God tell? Does God know? He does, of course. But as he views your life, what is he reading? Yes. God is very jealous of our worship. He wants our worship, and it is those who have learned to worship him that God is especially pleased with. And I use that phrase, learn to worship him. Yes, I'm sure there's learning that can be done in worship. I'm sure there is. There are some men in the scriptures who learned to worship God. And we'll look at a couple of them. I am amazed at these men. I stand in awe of them. And you can turn in Genesis 22, verse 5. This takes away my breath. This is when God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I want you to go and offer your son Isaac, your son. And then he said it this way, your only son. Why did he have to just say it so clearly? He said, I want you to take your son, your only son. Almost like he was gloating about it. Now, God wasn't gloating about it, but he made it a point. He wanted Abraham to take his only son, Isaac, and go sacrifice him. Offer him as a burnt offering there on the mountain that I'll show you of. And Abraham got up early in the morning, and he went his way for 3 days, and he saw the place afar off. And then, verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and... It almost makes me cry. He said, worship. He didn't say, mine that will go and I'll do what God is asking me to do. He was going to do that. But he didn't say that. No. He didn't say, I'll go and I will sacrifice. He was planning to do that. But he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to worship. And come again to you. Abraham had learned to know God. Abraham had learned to trust God. And Abraham had learned to worship God in every situation. Now, Abraham had to learn that, okay? It didn't just come easy for Abraham, and it doesn't come easy for any one of us. But God wanted somebody in this world that could worship Him in any situation. And He finally found a man that had cultivated a relationship with Him that He could do this to. And he challenged him to do it, and he did it. And he stands as a memorial and as an example to us as to what God wants in our lives as well. That no matter what God asks us to do, we can tell the people, I am going to go, and even though it means I'm going to sacrifice my son, I'm going to go and I'm going to worship the God that is worthy of all my being, of all my worship, of all my passion, of all my devotion. I'm going to go and worship Him still. In his greatest hour of adversity, Abraham worshipped. And now the other hero of faith that I want to look at, that just staggers my mind, is Job 1, verse 20. These men had learned what it means to worship. Their God was so big. Their God was so great. It took away their breath. And they were devoted to them, lock, stock, and barrel. And they were going to worship Him. And you know the story so awfully well. How the Sabaeans came and took the oxen. And the fire of God came and took the sheep. And the Chaldeans came and took the camels. And the wind came and blew down the house. And whoosh! Gone were his sons and his daughters. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshipped. Yes. His God was bigger than all of that, and greater than all of that, and his love and in his attachment to God was that strong that even in that tremendous hour of trial, he was able to worship. And he said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My name is jealous, yes. And with jealous comes all that passion. And as we've seen, when that love is betrayed, there's jealousy there. And God Himself talks about how He is a consuming fire because of that jealousy. There is anger there. God wants your worship. I want to give you an invitation tonight. If you have not given Him your worship, you've not given Him your love, He knows it. It's very, very pointed to Him. He knows where your affection is. He knows that you are resisting coming to Him, and He is jealous. Yes, He knows very, very much about it.